with Maurice and the Doctor on Triple J.
23 to 9. Richard E. Grant, welcome back to Triple J.
Thank you very much.
We did mention with Niall and I a little bit earlier on, which is the cult movie from which, you know,
for
your name
people.
Is. Yeah, for old people. But yeah. Do you get sick of it being brought up?
I'm amazed that anybody even, you know, remembers it after so long.
Yeah,
it's very hard to see. The print of the film is so dark. It's actually quite hard to watch. Like, hard to see.
Right. That's not your fault entirely.
No.
Now, you're here doing My Fair Lady, which is a part that you were offered after the, I don't know if it's famous or infamous. Denton interview you did on Enough Rope, which has sort of given you this sort of almost honorary Australian status. We've sort of claimed you as our own because you turned the tables on Andrew Denton.
Yeah, you've done all this research on him, hadn't you?
Well, I just Googled him. It just seemed rude not to, you know, if he was going to ask me questions that I didn't know anything, you know, particularly about him because I'd never seen him before. So, because I hadn't been in Australia. So, apparently, I had no memory of this, but he asked me to sing some of the Swaziland national anthem on it. And it was that the opera director, Stuart Maunder, saw and thought, oh, well, the combination of this plus being sort of complete misogynist bastard allowed me to, you know, come and be cast in this part.
Is this the strangest way that you've landed a part?
Apart from sleeping with people, yeah, most definitely.
So you slept with Andrew Denton to get onto My Fair Lady. Fascinating news.
Just for the record, I have not slept with Andrew Denton. Well, or his lovely wife.
That I've seen that mentioned in other interviews. That this is now a technique of yours, turning the tables on the interviewer.
It's not a technique at all. It's just curiosity.
But is it a genuine curiosity, or is it also part of it deflecting somewhat of you not wanting to venture down certain topics?
No, not at all. Because you can ask me anything, and I'll gab off about it.
Have you slept with Andrew Denton? That's the con.
No, but one hopes to.
So you've just
the royal we.
You've just popped up from the grown up station from Radio National, having a chat to Fran Kelly.
Yeah.
What dirt did you dig up on her?
On Fran?
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you.
It's for adult radio.
Exactly. Right, that's for adult. That's for grown up radio. Yeah.
So you're enjoying musicals?
Viagra.
Have you done much of them before?
Have I done a musical before? No, never. Yeah. No.
Were you nervous?
First. Sphincter winking duck acting, I think, is what went on. Yeah, because
as the crits raved.
You know, the rehearsal time was very short because Reg Livermore was playing the part when it opened at the Sydney Opera House in May, and then he did it in Canberra and Brisbane and Melbourne. So the amount of time that I could rehearse with the actors, because they're performing at night, was very limited. So,
and they've already learnt. They've learnt all their parts.
Oh, they've been doing it for 17 years. So they were, you know, thinking, oh, this is another imported pom coming to, you know, we have to re-rehearse with him. So opening night felt a bit like a sort of train crash in my head. I was just grateful that I got through it without falling over.
That's the one that you saw, isn't it, Doctor?
I think so, yes.
Mm. Yeah. You did see me in the airport, apparently, falling over. Thank you for revealing
me
as an incompetent old person.
it's difficult, the x-rays and everything. It's
complex.
Hard to understand.
We've got Richard E. Grant in, wonderful actor and genuinely lovely man this morning. 20 to 9.
It just hit the season. Everyone breathing. Slap on my face. I love the deepest of the blue. I'm sick from the sweetest of you. You're one thing I just got to do.
That's TZU Got To Do, as we were just discussing the pros and cons of maybe an Australian version of My Fair Lady.
That's right.
Yes, featuring the line, speak better, you mole.
Speak better, you mole.
Yeah. Yes.
Can you mole? Speak like a flippin' Aussie.
Yeah, I think it'd be good.
So is this going to open up a whole new career for you in musical theatre? Where to from here? We Will Rock You?
Yeah.
Starlight Express,
anything
perhaps?
Involving
yeah, with
ben
a big
Elton.
Wig and some roller skates.
What about, Xanadu?
Defo, yeah. Xanadu, leg warmers. Get me out of there.
Starlight Express. When you were a child, you put on performances in Swaziland, like puppet shows and the like. So, and since then, have you done a lot of stage? Like, or was that?
I co-founded a theatre company in Cape Town where I went to university 175 years ago, and I last did a play in London in the West End 3 years ago, and I'm doing one as soon as I get back. God of Carnage, which is written by Yasmin Razor, who wrote Art, and I know the Cape Blanchard's company, the Sydney Theatre Company, are doing that here next October.
So you're planning to come in and kick the lead role out in Australia and jump in again, Reg Livermore.
We've got Richard E. Grant in this morning. He's in Australia for My Fair Lady, but of course has been in many fine films over the year. You were in the Spice Girls film as well.
A very, very fine film of enormous class.
Hey, is it true that they've gone back and re-edited Gary Glitter out of it?
No, the song.
The song, yeah, is it, right? Okay.
He was never, they edited him out of the film.
Before they shot it.
No, but they performed a Gary Glitter song, which is now no longer in it.
Oh, right.
No longer tainted. So if you do something dastardly and to get some sort of criminal record, you're out of the film.
Okay.
The Spice Girls film. If you want to get out of it.
Right. That's how you get out of the Spice Girls film.
Now, you wrote a book and you directed a film that was based on your childhood, which was relatively traumatic. And I guess it does expose you a lot as a performer, people knowing so much about your personal life.
Right.
How much more of your personal life can you mine for creative purposes? Is there another book? Is there another film to come?
Are you suggesting that this is whoring of the worst?
No, not at all.
You know, I think that's, you know, I was writing about my adolescence in Swaziland, and it seemed at the sort of last gasp of empire, so it seemed a legitimate thing to do. So I haven't thought about doing that further. I'm writing a screenplay now about the making of a disaster movie, which is basically based on my experience of working on an infamous film called Hudson Hawk with Bruce Willis about 18 years ago.
Oh,
I suppose that is, you know, autobiographical in the sense that I'm writing about what I know.
And do you find that a therapeutic process as well?
Financially, no. No, I think that, you know, I think it's very hard not to write from your own experience, because when you do that, it has authenticity, and hopefully, you know, the more personal something is, I think the better chance it has of being either original or reaching out to people that you're not trying to write a generic thing that's, you know.
Tell us about Hudson Hawk, because it was one of the biggest turkeys of the 90s, wasn't it?
No, I won't.
You've got to see the film, Robbie.
I'd be the only person in Australia just about.
One of the five people that may have seen it or even heard of it. I don't know.
What was it like working with Bruce Willis?
It was...
Because it would have been just right at the... It was right at the height of his fame, wasn't it?
Die Hard 2 was sailing around the world.
Yeah. And they pumped enormous amounts of cash into this.
Yeah, I think that it was one of those things where, you know, a case of hubris, flying too close to the sun and getting financially burnt to a crisp. So, you know, I got to work with James Coburn and... Sandra Bernhardt and various people. So, you know, Andy McDowell. So, you know, all that was... interesting.
You're going to lose friends from writing this screenplay? Friends in the industry?
No, I hope to count on my friends being in it.
Yeah.
Oh, right. No, it's essentially going to be about the difference between the way that American movie stars are treated as opposed to non-American movie stars.
So
just the huge difference.
So will you still be going to Christmas at the Willis House after this?
No, I haven't been there yet.
What is the difference like?
Just money. Mm-hmm. Money, okay. Attitude, and the status that people play, that, you know...
Like what?
People measuring up how big a caravan Winnebago is going to be in, quite literally, and saying, well, this is 2 inches shorter than Brad Pitt's or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Does that sort of stuff go on?
Oh, boy, it goes on.
Really?
Yeah, and you cannot believe it.
So would they get their little personal assistants to go out and do things like that, or do they...
Well, I think, you've just hit the nail, that the entourage, the size of people's entourages, is something that, I don't know whether it applies to Australian actors, but certainly English actors, I don't know one who has an entourage of 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 people on mobiles in Armani suits, you know, being very important about protecting.
But American actors do.
Because some do. You know, many don't, but some do.
Because we noticed you came up with a huge entourage this morning.
I did. A plastic bag, coins falling out.
Your computer falling out.
A few pigeons.
You rang Amelia and said, can I get a car space? I'm just going to drive in.
Yeah.
It is amazing. Exactly. I've played some festivals in Australia with international bands, and the difference even between Australian and American bands, whereas you will have a AAA pass as an Australian band, but the American bands will have the AAA pass for American bands, which gets them to places that the Australian bands can't even get into.
Yeah.
So what is that about?
It's wankerism, I imagine.
Professional wankerism.
I think it is, you know, they have been, up until now, the Roman Empire of our time, Americans. Mm. So there is
some talk about it crumbling, isn't there?
There is, you know, I think there is a sense of entitlement about them that... when they go outside of America, if they're big stars, there's a readjustment that takes place, or a big contrast between...
So behind the Theatre Royal, I did see a very large Winnebago as I was leaving the show a couple of weeks ago. Is that yours?
Yeah. My dreams. Yeah.
We've got Richard E. Grant in this morning. It's 10 to 9. You're on Triple J. Here's Sia.
You sound surprised.
No, I'm not. I'm very happy.
So how many years have you got left?
Not many.
On this part of the radio.
Not many. Hanging out in New York these days, I think. Sia, originally from Adelaide, lived in London for quite a while as well, and that's from her new record, The Girl You Lost to Cocaine. Richard E. Grant in with us this morning. You don't touch booze, do you? You're not...
No, allergic to that.
Oh, yeah?
I've tried the other things.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Over it now, though.
You what?
I said you're over it now.
What?
I said you're over it. What?
So now, I don't know if you'll be comforted to know we've had a couple of texts during the interview. One said, I love Hudson Hawk.
Yeah.
Another one from a different number said, I loved Hudson Hawk. I don't know why they're using the past tense there.
Those are the two people that are in the high security.
One of them was Robbie. He was texting.
Yeah, exactly.
Quietly underneath the desk there.
And the Brisbane Mental High Security's home for the challenge.
But I think it's because you have had such a distinguished... and dare I say, long career in movies. Everyone,
you mean, I'm old.
No, you have had a long career in movies. That you've packed a lot into your relatively short life,
right?
And everyone,
what's your point?
Everyone has a favorite Richard E. Grant moment. And when I told Tony,
everyone, we could ring somebody quite randomly right now and just say, "What's your favorite Richard E. Grant moment?"
Yes, but we're not going to. We're going to talk about Tony, who said that that he was racing through his video boxes trying to find me a copy of How to Get Ahead in Advertising, a movie you did in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was because he wanted me to hear this particular bit.
You're being completely irrational.
Irrational? We're all prepared to sit here discussing mung beans and soya protein, but if anybody touches on anything real, it's irrational.
Right then, you're being rude. Unutterably rude and a bore.
Right, come and have a drink.
I've had a drink, thank you. Now I'm going to have another.
Apart from the slight against vegans, you do seem to have this character that, stereotyped in this character.
Being a stern, abusive,
vaguely foppish,
cantankerous
guy.
Yes, exactly. Yes,
where do you draw this inspiration from, Richard E. Grant?
No idea. No idea whatsoever. I can't answer that. It's too early in the morning.
Right. But you are sexing up Henry Higgins, apparently, in the production.
I think that it's all about that. You know, he's trying to convert this flower girl into something else, and then inadvertently falls in love with her. She gets him into control.
So is it true that they've sort of toned down the misogyny a bit?
Not consciously.
Right.
No.
Okay.
They haven't changed the script at all.
No, not a line of the script has been changed.
Well, then
just
I don't think the misogyny would be touched at all.
Exactly,
really.
Exactly. He's still very, very rude. But, he's a sort of cosseted public schoolboy of the Edwardian era who, has a very unemancipated view of women and needs to be taken in hand and taught a few things like straps.
Now, you've made a few cracks today about being old or thinking Lindsay was having a go at you being old. But
compared to all you 45-year-olds.
Exactly. But also compared to Reg Livermore, who's played the part before, you have come in now as the sprightly new sexy pornographic
Indeed.
Henry Higgins.
Indeed, yeah, that's it. Yeah, the Viagra Higgins is here for Sydney.
And it's the tight pants. When you walk off stage and you walk out into the night, do you get a little bit... do you take a bit of Henry Higgins with you and find yourself slapping people down? And
do you slap people cane? After the show?
Have you ever slapped someone?
No, but I could give you one right now. Behave, boy.
Mm. Do you find yourself singing some of the songs in the shower? Do you, just around the home?
No, I don't.
Just subconsciously. Just a little bit here and there.
If anyone's staying at the hotel near Richard E. Grant and can confirm or deny that. So what are you going to do next? I did hear you were going to be in a movie version of Irvin Welsh's book Ecstasy.
Yeah, they've been trying to get that financed for the last 2 years and it's just never happened. And I think with the credit crunch now, it probably will never happen.
So, if anybody who's listening this morning has got heaps of cash and would like Richard E. Grant in a fantastic film adaptation of Irving Welsh's Ecstasy, give us a call now, 1-300-555-536. Richard E. Grant, so lovely catching up with you. Thanks for dropping into Triple J again.
Thanks a lot.
News coming up next.
Thank you, ladies, gents.
Thank you, sir.
Robbie, Marie, and the Doctor. Weekday mornings from 6 on Triple J.